Appreciate so much the attendance of everyone this evening and your interest to come out and to go through this special series with us. We've had a good night last night. We had two really good lessons. As we think about this idea of searching for meaning beyond this world, and that is the title of our series. And again, we've had two good lessons. The first one yesterday was about finding purpose. And Emerson led us through that lesson and helped us to understand how it is that all of us have been given a specific purpose in this life. And God has given us that purpose. And that, of course, that purpose is to seek and to serve God with all of us, with all of our being. And of course, we've discovered last night that Ecclesiastes is a very good book of the Bible for us to come to that understanding. And then we also noted that a critical part of finding meaning in our lives beyond this world not only is finding our purpose, but also, of course, in finding joy. Joy that comes from a deeper understanding of what real happiness is. Joy that comes from a connection by having a relationship with Christ. And we discovered through a lesson that Ben did for us that a very good letter for us to read with regard to joy is the book of Philippians. And so tonight, continuing the theme, I'd like to think about finding meaning in beyond really this world by thinking about how it is that we can find hope in Christ. Finding hope in Christ is the title of the lesson this evening. I kind of wanted to start out by mentioning a verse that we looked at last night, which is Ecclesiastes, the third chapter. And in the 11th verse, the writer there says that God has set eternity in our hearts. I want you to think about that for just a minute. God has set eternity in our hearts. If you'll think about it, that's what it is that helps us to understand how significant it is that we listen to the voice that's inside of us, that we listen to this compelling need that we have because God has given us a soul to listen to that earning and that desire of the soul to seek its goal. You see, the way that I put this is your soul seeks its goal of heaven. That's true for you and it's true for me. God made us that way. He made us with that soul seeking, that desire of our soul to seek heaven. And when we combine that with the ability that we have to reason and additionally with the evidence that God has given us of his existence through creation, through this billboard in the sky that we call it creation, but God, every day when you wake up and you open your eyes, says, I exist. And all you have to do is open your eyes and look around you to know that. But there's another way that God reveals himself to us in this understanding of finding meaning beyond this world, and that way is through special revelation through his word. And in fact, we discover that if we'll use the reasoning that God has given us, if we'll use this seeking mechanism, if you will, the understanding that our soul seeks its goal of heaven, if we'll combine those things, we in fact will find not just purpose and joy, but also hope in Christ. Well, you might be asking how it is that hope in Christ is important. And so I want to look at that subject. What is hope in Christ? I want us to look at why hope. I want us to look at what is living hope. And finally, I want us to look at how can I have a living hope? We have just a few minutes to do this evening, but I trust that the things that I have been able to study will be of a benefit to you as we think about searching for meaning, finding hope in Christ. Let me ask, have you ever hoped? What have you hoped for in your life? You might be thinking, well, I can remember at one particular point, I hoped for an A on a final exam. I really wanted to get an A, and I hoped for one. You might think, well, I hoped that my next car would be a BMW M3. Maybe that's a hope that you've had. Or maybe you have a hope that, I'm going to send my entry in for the next Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes, and I'm going to hope that I win that and that they come to my door with this big check, all right? Those are all hopes in a sort of a way, but honestly, they're more hope the way the world defines it. And one of the best ways that I know of to begin to think about what hope is to think about what hope is not. And this is not hope, my friends. This is more accurately called wishful thinking, or perhaps making a wish, or maybe even hoping for the odds. You see, I want us to understand the components of hope in Christ as God reveals hope to us. And we can get a little bit closer to that if we'll think about a couple of more examples. Think about the recent hurricane that hit both North and South Carolina. Now, I'm guessing that initially when that hurricane began to form and they began to guess on where it would hit, maybe not too many people were concerned, because after all, hurricanes tend to go off course. But as time went on and the storm was tracked, and it became obvious that this storm was going to hit North and South Carolina, how many people do you think that lived there were hoping? And what were they hoping for? Well, they might have been hoping for a lower intensity, or that the storm would be missed altogether. But I would suggest to you that those who were Christians there, those who have a relationship in Christ and a hope in Christ, likely probably prayed that their house would not be hit, that the storm would avoid them, but probably more likely they prayed that no loss of life would occur. They began to look outside this world for hope. Because the reality is, again, as we've already noted, you can't rely on what some storm tracker says a storm is going to do. The best you can get is maybe a 50-50 chance that, in fact, that'll occur. So there's more to hope, again, than just a wishful thinking or a hope or a chance or an odds of something happening. And I want us to understand that. You likely know of someone, or may have known of someone, who has sought a good diagnosis when ill and wasn't sure what was wrong. And so, or you may have known of someone who desired a cure from a bad diagnosis. Now we're getting closer to what hope is all about. I tend to think that we tend to hope most when we need hope most. Does that make sense? We tend to hope when we need hope the most. Hope is the desire for a future positive outcome. And I want us to understand that next as we think about what hope is, by looking at one more point about what hope is not. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 24, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For in hope we have been saved. But hope," he says, that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. This scripture tells us clearly that hope is always something about the future. It's not something current. When we hope for something, it's always something in our future. And we discover that hope is typically always about a positive outcome we're looking for. We're hoping for a gain of some kind, or perhaps to avoid a loss. And so perhaps the best way to describe the way that the Bible defines hope is to look at this definition that we find in Vine's Expository Dictionary, which tells us that hope is favorable and confident expectation. Favorable and confident expectation. I would suggest to you there's three key words in this definition that we need to pay particular attention to. Again, one is favorable. We've already noted that tells us it needs to be something we're looking for in a positive way. Secondly, it needs to be confident. Our confidence. How confident are we in this outcome? How sure are you? What's your attitude of a positive outcome actually about this actually coming to pass? Confidence plays a key role in our hope. And finally, expectation. A conviction, the future outcome I desire is settled. To the extent that I have settled it, that I'm convicted of it, that I expect it fully to happen, is to the extent to which I will in fact have hope. So three key words: favorable, confidence, and expectation. Well, I think it's interesting if you'll think about those ideas, those three words, how much hope is intertwined with faith. Think about that. How much is our hope is really connected to our belief that this is going to happen? You can't really separate hope from faith very easily. And in fact, when you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, what we might call a Bible definition of what faith is, the writer says faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. Notice the very definition of faith includes hope. Do you see that? Do you see how closely these are tied together? So that my faith is very much a part of my hope, and my hope a part of my faith. It's interesting to note that years ago, a book was written by a doctor by the name of Dr. Herbert Benson. And he wrote a book called Timeless Healing. And in this book, and what the doctor went out to kind of ascertain and to study, was what was the relationship to our believing and hoping whenever we had a need to get better. So we go to the doctor, and the doctor's treating us. Do our beliefs about the doctor and the treatment and those kinds of things impact in any way our desire or our actually getting better? Does it actually improve our health in any kind of a quicker way? And what he found was that it does. He found, interestingly, that there are three components of what he called remember wellness. The first of which was the belief and the belief and the reality that they would expect on the part of the patient, the expectancy. I can't say the word. I said it earlier. All right, the belief and expectancy on the part of the patient. In other words, do I as a patient believe that I can get well? Secondly, does the caregiver believe the same thing? Does he expect that I will get well as well? Does he believe that we can fully expect to get well? And finally, my belief as a patient in the relationship that I have with those who are giving me the care, with the physician and whatever is going on in the treatment. So the extent to which I fully believe in the efficacy of the treatment is the extent to which it's been proven that I actually will get better and heal quicker. Think about that. The power of faith and hope. And if you'll think about it, this is in a physical context, but it's the same thing in a spiritual context. The extent to which I can be well spiritually is absolutely tied to the extent to which I can believe and hope in Christ. And the extent to which I believe in Christ and I hope in Him, I can in fact be healed by Him and know for certain that I have a future hope ready for me even after this life is over. That's powerful when you think about it. But it requires my faith and my hope. I want us to take the rest of the time that we have, just a few minutes here, to think about some of the critical verses, a few of them, that the Bible gives us that helps us to better understand what this hope in Christ is all about. And we're just going to look at these verses and see if we can make some comments about each of them. Notice this passage found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes, "Remember what you were at that time, separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise." Notice he says, "having no hope and without God in the world." Here Paul is describing all of those in Ephesus who had become Christians, and he's asking them to remember where they came from. You weren't always Christians. You weren't always in Christ. In fact, there was a time, particularly because you were a Gentile, when you were excluded from the promises of God, because those were only available to the children of Israel under the Old Testament. And he described their condition as having no hope. Think about that for a minute. What would it be like to in fact be in a situation where you had no hope? What do you think that would do to your ability to fight whatever it is you're trying to work your way through? If you honestly believe that there was no hope for that to occur. Now, if that's true physically, you think about how much more true it is spiritually. If we're in a condition outside of Christ, the reality is we have no hope. And it's interesting to me that way back in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah, being a spokesperson for God here, a prophet, speaks God's word to those of his time who had already forsaken God. He's speaking here to the Israelites who have already been led away into Babylonian captivity. They've seen the destruction of their city. They've been led away, and they're living in a foreign land, captive, because of their own disobedience to God. And yet God says to them, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." God has always desired for all of us and all of his people for all time that we might have this hope. And he planned it that way. He desired it that way. And so it is God who becomes the source of true hope. And notice here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy," notice we didn't earn this, but "according to his great mercy has caused us," that's those who are in Christ, "to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Notice how he describes our hope. It's living. It's not just looking forward to the future, but there's something about this hope that's as living as much as God is living. as much as you and I are living. It's the same word that's used there. It's a living hope. We have a living hope now if we are in Christ. And notice it's confirmed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, he would go on to say in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, notice how we're defining this hope now, and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You get that? This hope that's so incredibly, it's imperishable, it's undefiled, it can't fade away, and it's reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day. That's a powerful verse to think about. That's the kind of hope that everyone in this building tonight can have if you don't yet have it. This is the kind of hope that we all as children of God can in fact have. Think about the way this hope is described and how much different this is than hoping for an A on a test or whatever it was we were talking about before. It's a completely different kind of hope. And think about the assurance, the confidence, the expectation that we read in these verses. Those words come out in our minds as we think about what is said here by Peter. We go on to notice a Philippian writer, Paul writes, I know that this will turn out for my... he's speaking here of his condition, of his current circumstances. And he's being persecuted for being a preacher of the gospel. And he's, as we know, the Apostle Paul suffered many things. But he says, I know that this will turn out his circumstance for my deliverance through your prayers, speaking to those he's writing to, the Church of Philippi, and the provision of the Spirit of Christ Jesus. He says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness, Christ will even now be exalted, as always, in my body. And notice this, whether by life or by death. I want you to think about that. Paul is so confident in his hope, in this living hope, that it doesn't matter that in his current circumstance, even if his life is required, if he dies, it doesn't matter. That's hope in Christ. That's hope in Christ. Notice this, the way the Hebrew writer explains it or describes this hope. He says, the hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast. Now, we don't know. It's possible that Paul wrote the letter to the Hebrews. We don't know that for sure. But the only other time that anchor is used in the New Testament, the exact word here, is actually in the book of Acts when we read about shipwrecks and anchors. All right? Now, think about that. And we all can think about the anchor of a ship. Maybe you've seen the anchor of a big cruise ship or even a smaller boat. And you know the power of that anchor that goes down into the water and secures that vessel and keeps the winds and the waves from knocking it around. That's how our hope is described. An anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Would you like that kind of hope? Is that the kind of hope that you would like this evening? Well, it's possible. How do we gain that kind of hope? Well, notice what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. He prayed, the Apostle Paul did, he says, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what the hope of his calling, what is the hope of his calling? Jesus and God are calling us. They want us to come to know this hope. What are the riches of his glory and of his inheritance in the saints? This has always been the desire of God, and it's been fulfilled now through his son Jesus, that all of us know the hope of this calling. And we can think about, as we look at the Old Testament and we begin to look at the New Testament, and we see how this whole plan of God for the salvation of man was really before the foundation of the earth was laid. And Paul in Galatians chapter 4 makes this comment in about verse 4, that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, Jesus. And we remember that the scriptures tell us that Mary would bring forth this son and they would call his name Jesus, for he would save their people from their sins. And we see that with this plan of God on the stopwatch of God, at the timing of God, that God sent forth his son, notice, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Friends, that's likely you and I, as Paul wrote there to the Gentiles in that particular verse. And notice this power of the gospel that Paul describes in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, where he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the," and gospel literally means good news, "the good news of Jesus, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." This has been made available to all of us. This hope of his calling we can discover through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yes, you may well know this verse. It's a very familiar verse. It may well be the most familiar verse in all the Bible, where Jesus himself says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friends, that's hope in a spiritual context. That's how we find this hope. That's how we can find this living hope that exists in Christ Jesus. I think it's interesting when you think about John chapter 3 and verse 16, that if you look at the verse there in the context, in fact, you might want to open your Bibles to John chapter 3 as we begin to close out now. Before John chapter 3 verse 16, someone comes to visit Jesus of a night, a man by the name of Nicodemus. He's a ruler of the Jews. And notice Jesus declares to him, "Truly I say unto you, unless one is born again," verse 3, "he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, if you were listening and noted, we kind of ran through it, but the verse in 1 Peter chapter 1 talked about how we had to be born again. That's how we received our hope. Born again. Well, what is this born again? How do we access this hope? It's this whole idea that Jesus talks about here, even in John 3, that we must be born again. And what we discover is this idea of being born again. It's not a physical birth, new birth, but a spiritual one. And if you'll take pen and paper, and we don't have time to talk about it tonight, but what you will discover is that through baptism in Jesus Christ, we can be born again. Through the water and the Spirit, we can be buried with Christ in baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also can be raised to walk in newness of life. That's the new birth. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And we can hear the words of Jesus before he went up to heaven, ascended into heaven. He told his disciples who he'd gathered together right before he ascended to heaven, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe whatever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the ends of the age." That was the command of Jesus, that all be baptized, that all discover this new birth in Jesus Christ. And on Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, guess what Peter preached? He preached repentance and baptism for everyone in that audience. That's the hope that you can have in Christ, and that's how you access it. All we've done tonight is just touch on it, but I hope I've given you enough tonight to think about these four questions. What is hope in Christ? Why hope? What is living hope? And how can I have living hope? And I hope you've come to an understanding that, in fact, you can find hope in Christ. If you're seeking it, you can find it, and likely quicker than you think. Thank you.
Not a 20-minute break. 10-minute break if you need to use a restroom.